We get things rolling this afternoon by getting on board that G&M Family Market phone line to talk movies with the film critic of the Boston Globe, Ty Burr. Ty, thanks for coming back on with us.
Thanks, Rich. Good to be here.
Just back from the Sundance Film Festival, and I want to make sure I get the numbers right. 23 films in 5 days. Was that a good number? Was that a little
bit
much?
That's a pretty good number. 5.5 days, maybe like two more on the flopping over into the six. But yeah, that's a pretty typical festival crunch for me.
Do you even remember all of them that you saw at this point?
I do. I take notes in the dark, but by like the fourth day, the notes are completely illegible. but I do remember most of them. There were some very, very good films there. There were no like big breakouts like Get Out last year, but there were the quality was high, and we'll be seeing a lot of those movies later this year.
And what were a couple that really stood out to you?
Oh, The Tale with Laura Dern. Which is about a woman coming to terms with her youthful abuse. There were a lot of really strong performances by young unknown actresses. I saw a movie called Madeline's Madeline, which was tremendous. Skate Kitchen, about young skateboarding girls. Let me think. There were also some really nice performances by men. There was Paul Rudd was in a movie called The Catcher Was a Spy, playing Mo Berg, the baseball player who was actually a spy during World War II for the OSS. There was a lot of interesting, good stuff there.
So the one you posted about looked very interesting, The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Oh, yeah. That's set in the 90s, starring Chloe Moretz as a gay teenager who's sent off to a Christian conversion camp. And it's, you know, it's got a dry sense of humor, but it's also quite serious about what was going on in those places.
And another impressive performance, it sounds like, coming up for people to see from Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. She's in this movie called Kindergarten Teacher that I really liked, playing this sort of middle-aged kindergarten teacher in Staten Island. Nobody sort of pays any attention to her. Teenage kids don't pay attention to her. Husband's sort of not paying attention to her. And she finds this kid who's a natural poet. He's 5 years old, but he just like it's like a Mozart of poetry, and she has to decide what she's going to do about it. And she makes some pretty foolish decisions, but it's a very gripping drama. It's another sort of, you know, feather in the cap for Maggie Gyllenhaal, who I think is coming up with the kinds of roles that people don't see anymore. Between this and The Deuce, she's sort of creating her own career path, which I think is pretty interesting.
And it sounds like you very much enjoyed the documentary on Jane Fonda.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. It's over 2 hours, but talk about a life. You know, love her or hate her. You know, it's called Jane Fonda in Five Acts, and each of those acts, when you think, you know, back to it, is pretty amazing. It's got a lot of fascinating stuff going on. And she's front and center in it, and it is a portrait of an amazing career, a colossal vanity, a smart woman, and who sort of defined herself through men her entire life until recently. And she talks pretty frankly about that, and about many things in her career, including her notable regrets, including Hanoi. That's going to be, I think, on HBO in a couple of months. But I was interested in the subject, so I checked it out anyway.
We're talking with Ty Burr here on Downtown. Well, this week the Academy Award nominations came out, and were you surprised at Best Picture nominees? Were there any omissions or additions to the list that caught you by surprise?
I mean, there's a good strong bunch of movies. There were no huge surprises. I was hoping in the Best Picture category, a little movie like The Florida Project might sneak in there, or Dee Reese's Mudbound. I know a lot of people love The Big Sick, Kumail Nanjiani's movie. Real wonderful little crowd pleaser. I had a sneaking feeling that, you know, it was going to get a screenplay nomination, which it did, but wasn't going to get into the Best Picture ranks. I think where you find the surprises is further down in the list, in the actors and directors and other areas.
Yeah, glad to see. And I guess I wasn't surprised after the well-publicized snub at the Golden Globes, but it was good to see Greta Gerwig get the nomination, and I was surprised to see Jordan Peele get a much-deserved nomination.
I agree. You know, I wasn't that surprised to see Peele get it. I know that he's been talked about a lot in the various critics awards that come out at the end of the year. And I also really do think we're beginning to see the attempt to broaden and youthify and diversify the Academy's voting membership. I think that's starting to pay off. I think because the people running the Academy have done a real push in the last 2 years to bring in younger and more diverse members, because its arteries have been pretty hard over the last 10 years, and I think you're starting to see that show up in the results. Possibly of last year's win for Moonlight, which caught a lot of people off guard, including Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, when they announced the win on TV. But also, I think, in some of the nominations, including for Gerwig and Jordan Peele and Daniel Kaluuya, the star of Get Out. He was nominated for Best Actor.
Were you of the belief that perhaps the fallout of the James Franco win at the Golden Globes impacted the nomination process? Because I think that occurred with just a few days left in the process for the Oscars.
I do. I do think that was a factor. I mean, it's anybody's guess, but just the timing was such that some pretty nasty stories came out about him just as people were making out their nomination ballots. So, you know, he got nominated for screenplay, for adapted screenplay, but I think in this particular climate, and these stories are not particularly new. There have been stories bubbling up about him for quite some time, but they're now getting focused. And I don't think anybody felt comfortable throwing prize bling at him in this particular climate.
Do you think the backlash is at all justified for Three Billboards?
That's a show in itself. Did you read Wesley Morris's piece in the New York Times last week?
Yes, I did. It was great.
Very smart take on it. I like the movie. I don't love the movie. I don't particularly buy Sam. Spoiler alert! Put your fingers in your ears if you haven't seen the movie. Sam Rockwell's character has a change of heart. Let's just put it that way. Toward the end of the movie, that didn't really wash for me. I can understand why people of color look at this movie and go, and I can also understand why some people look at it and think it's a really, you know, trenchant statement on our incredibly divided times in America. I think Martin McDonagh's a really great writer. I love his plays. I like some of his earlier movies. I'm not convinced he understands the American South, or the American Midwest, the American heartland, I should say, as well as he thinks he does. On the other hand, you've got really great performances by Frances McDormand and Woody Harrelson, who just keeps getting better, you know, with every movie and with age, and Rockwell, and, you know, everybody in it pretty much is doing great work. So it's a mixed bag. I don't think it doesn't belong here, but I think there's a good conversation to be had about it. It's one of those movies that, to me, looks kind of sterling on the surface, but the deeper you dig into it, the more it doesn't quite add up.
The Post got nothing at the Golden Globes and got a few Oscar nominations. Does that movie suffer somehow from being a very traditional film?
I think you have a point there, and I also think that, I'm just spitballing here, it may be that the push to bring younger members and more diverse members into the Academy has a opposite effect on some of the old lions of Hollywood and the Academy. Spielberg did not get nominated. I find that interesting. I like the movie. I don't think it's his best work, but I think it's pretty good. Streep gets nominated for combing her hair, for hailing a taxi. It's her 21st nomination. Somebody joked online that her nominations are now legal to drink everywhere. The Post is a good movie. It's a good, solid movie. It's timely, certainly enough, but in a weird way, it's also old-fashioned, and as you pointed out. And I think there are other movies coming out this year that are doing fresher, more interesting things, and that's kind of where the awards are going.
Ty, as you look at this crop of Best Picture nominees, there are some that are in that moment and sort of capture this place and where we are in time, but which movies will stand up? What are the ones that you think might be considered classics if we look back in a decade or two?
That's an interesting question. Boy, they're all pretty good. The Shape of Water, I think, will age pretty well. It's so unique that it kind of falls outside its time. I think Three Billboards will probably not age particularly well. The Post will look good and old-fashioned no matter when you watch it. Get Out, I think, is going to stand the test of time. It's sort of a cultural icon at this point. I mean, there's more meaning that accrues to it just beyond is it a good movie or not. Dunkirk, I think, is going to be remembered as a good, solid war movie with an unusual structure. Phantom Thread, honestly, this is my particular favorite movie of the year because I think I've seen it more than twice now. I've seen it three times, and it just gets richer, and it actually gets funnier every time you see it. And there was Paul Thomas Anderson was being interviewed, and somebody asked him, when are you going to make a comedy? And he says, I just did. but it's a very dry, kind of dark comedy. Daniel Day-Lewis and Vicky Krebs just doing amazing work. I think a lot of people are sort of disturbed by it. It's kind of hard to read. I have a feeling that it's going to look better in 10 years and even better than that in 20 years. And that's the one I would put my stake on as just being a small classic of interestingly twisted human behavior, a human love.
We're talking with Ty Burr, film critic of the Boston Globe, author of a wonderful book about celebrity in America as well. And we're seeing some of the celebrities that have been up there in the upper echelon, the Tom Hanks of the world and others, sort of making way, it seems, to this new generation. And when you see younger people like Timothée Chalamet and others getting nominations, it does appear that we're going through a bit of a changing of the guard.
It does. On the other hand, I think all of the supporting actress nominees are over 40. So what does that tell you? and a number of the best actress nominees as well. But you're right, we're seeing some real fresh blood. You know, in the actor category, we're seeing Chalamet, Daniel Kaluuya. And on the other hand, we're seeing, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis and Denzel Washington, who are, you know, standard bearers for that category. In the actress, we're seeing Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie. But we're also seeing Frances McDormand and Meryl Streep and Sally Hawkins, who's been nominated before. And in the supporting actor category, you've got Armie Hammer was not nominated. You've got the old, I believe Christopher Plummer is the oldest nominee in that category ever. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Did he pass Gloria Stewart for that honor? Was that her?
I think in the supporting actor category. Yeah. I think he's... Where it's also interesting is where you're seeing some fresh blood in the craft category. So, for instance, Mudbound cinematographer, who is the first woman to be nominated for cinematography in the entire history of the Academy. Johnny Greenwood, who is one of the key players in the rock band Radiohead, but has been making really interesting soundtracks, music scores for movies, mostly for Paul Thomas Anderson, for some time now. And it's always been sort of cut out of the Oscars for a variety of reasons. And he's not part of the scoring in-group, but he got a nomination. And he should, because it's a really good score. So I think it's not just the sort of above-the-title contributors that are beginning to be represented in different ways, but it's the people behind the camera. Which I think is terrific.
Well, I had a listener want to know if while you were at Sundance, you saw the film Believer about Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons.
I did not. There are 200 movies or so, and I can only see, one-tenth of them. And I heard good things about it. I know I talked to people who saw it. But the frustration of going to a major film festival like that is that you're always missing the thing that people seem to be talking about, and that's frustrating. And sometimes you put the checkers on the squares right, and you just see a lot of really good things. And sometimes you are just always standing behind the door. But no, I did not see that film. But it sounded really interesting. And I believe, I don't know if it's got a distributor or whether it's coming out later in the year. But a lot of the films playing at Sundance do find distribution.
What's coming up that you're excited about? So I know, I think it was around Oscar time last year that Get Out was released, which is pretty unusual. So what's coming up that you're anxious to get a look at?
I'm always the worst person to ask about that because I'm always sort of focused on what's coming out this week, and I'm not really focused on what's coming out the rest of the year. I do know that I'm going to be seeing, and I'm not necessarily a superhero movie guy, but the Black Panther movie sounds really interesting to me. That, you know, it's the Marvel movie, and they've sort of laid the basis for it in previous films. But it's Ryan Coogler, who did Fruitvale Station and Creed, is directing. And it's got Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, and he's, you know, he's played Jackie Robinson, he's played Thurgood Marshall, he's played James Brown. He's sort of getting these sort of iconic roles. It's got the Lupita Nyong'o in it. It just sounds really interesting. It has Daniel Kaluuya in it as well. And Angela Bassett and Forrest Whitaker, this incredibly heavy-hitting cast. So I am looking forward to that, and that's opening in February. And February is usually, you know, the cruelest of months in terms of movies. But that one's hopefully going to, you know, maybe they're going for the Get Out, you know, to see if lightning will strike twice, because I think Get Out opened pretty early in the year as well.
We're around the same vintage, and I want to relax sometimes on a weekend. I love nothing better than finding an old black and white film that I haven't seen in a while on TV. What's a comfort food kind of movie for you? One that if you see it on, you can't help but sit down and watch.
Oh man, I'm a movie critic and I love movies, so I will stop in my tracks for a lot of stuff. But you're right. I mean, if I see a screwball comedy with Cary Grant in it, I have to sit down and watch. If I see, you know, anything by Howard Hawks, if I see one of the James Stewart westerns that he made with Anthony Mann after World War II, Bend of the River, Winchester 73, those are just, they're great, great, tough, mature movies. If I see a Gene Kelly musical, that's it. I'm done for the evening. You know, the nice thing about the era we're living in terms of being able to stream all of these movies and get at more movies than we ever have before, you can sign up for like a specialized streaming outfit like Filmstruck. Do you know about Filmstruck?
Yeah.
You know, it's $99 a year, but you get the entire Criterion collection. You get all the great war horses of foreign film classics, all the Fellinis, all the Kurosawas. You get new stuff. You get old stuff. You get, you know, it's just for a committed film junkie, there is so much there. I could just, you know, if I could take that streaming site to a desert island, I'd be happy.
Ty Burr, film critic of the Boston Globe, for Our Money, the best in the business, author of a wonderful book. If you haven't read Gods Like Us, so make sure you get your hands on that and check it out as well. Ty, as always, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Sure. Thank you, Rich.
It's Ty Burr with us on Downtown.